Alex Anthopoulos on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet 360. Great to have you so soon after the news conference, Alex. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Glad to be on.
You talked about the timeline of this particular deal. How closely were you watching the Tigers? I'll ask this. How closely were media reports factor in? You've got all the numbers. You've got all the contacts. But there was a lot of back and forth with people saying they've got to make a decision. They're the team in the American League that has to decide sort of if they're in or out, if they're buyers or sellers. You must have been watching that drama pretty closely.
Yeah, I mean, you follow the media reports, but I would never really call someone over and over again based on media reports. I called Dave Dombrowski once last week just to check in on the availability of Price, and you know, even though there was different things being written and talked about, I just asked him if he ever decided to make a move, if he could follow up with me, and he assured me that he would, and that's all I needed. I mean, he's been doing this a lot longer than I have. He's a complete pro. And no matter what was being said in the media, I was going to take his word for it. And when and if the time presented itself, he was going to call. And he ultimately did. But do you follow what Detroit was doing at the time, what the other clubs were doing? The White Sox were playing well. Sure. I mean, we do that across because, you know, the landscape can change, whether, you know, how players are playing, how teams are playing. So you're just doing your job, staying on top of those things.
Difficult. It's tricky, too, isn't it? Dave would relate to your position, Alex. Midseason, he's gone and bought, if you will, traded for Doug Fister. He's gone and bought, traded for Anibal Sanchez. He's on the other side of the fence this time. That makes him be able to relate to you. At the same time, he wants to restock the farm base. He knows what you're looking for, but you know his perspective as well.
No doubt. And if you look at Dave's career, I mean, he's won a World Series. What he's done in Detroit when he got there, and where they were as a franchise with the losses and the way he turned it around, and they became a marquee destination for a lot of big free agents and consistently winning a ton of divisions, changing managers, still winning. And making some unbelievable trades. Hall of Famers like Miguel Cabrera and some of those starters that he brought in. Another World Series appearance with Detroit. I mean, you can't. There's a reason he's been a GM over 20 years. You don't last that long without a lot of success. So, yeah, you have all the respect in the world for Dave, and his track record speaks for itself.
Are there GMs easier to make trades with, and is he one of them? Again, difficult negotiator. You want him, you are the same. Travis Fergus, you make that in the offseason. Is it easier to call a guy that you say, well, I just made a deal with him, and I liked how it worked out. He treated me the right way. I treated him the right way. Do you have that sort of, not a pecking order per se, because if you want the player, you want the player.
Yeah, I think one is everyone's, look, you're dealing just like any line of work. I have 29 different people. It's imperative that I maintain relationships with. Whether you're happy, not happy, it's not about pride. It's not about emotions. I mean, deals can fall apart when emotions get involved. So you really try to check your ego at the door. But it's imperative. I mean, those relationships are very, very critical. And obviously with the agents as well, they're extremely important. So from Dave's standpoint, like I said, he's been doing it a long time. So over the years, I've learned his negotiating style, and I think that's a big part of it, is knowing who you're dealing with and how they react and how they do things. And I think that just takes time. So I know when one person says no, it may not be the same way as when somebody else says no. So that's just knowing who you're negotiating with. And I think anyone would tell you that in any walk of life. But Dave's very straight, very to the point, and he will get a deal done.
Yeah, Alex Anthopoulos, our guest, Brady and Walker. You guys were 60-50 last year at the deadline. You mentioned there may not have been a fit for David Price with basically a year and a half or so of control. There's more urgency with this team now. Can you pinpoint or put a finger on why there is more of a sense of urgency for a 51-51 team than there would have been for a 60-50 team?
Yeah, and I know the one loss record gets talked about. I think it's similar. You look at Detroit and where the Royals are in terms of their win total for the division, and you look at obviously the Yankees in our division. It's not the same when you're trying to win the division. I just take a look at where you are relative to a playoff spot. So we're two out of a wild card spot. We could be 20 games over 500 and be two out. We're two out. And the St. Louis Cardinals years ago got in the playoffs with 83 wins and won the World Series. So I don't expect that to happen very often, and it did. But we just look at where are we relative to getting into the playoffs. Wherever the win total ends up, it's really irrelevant. We just want to get in.
Yeah, meaning the right number. Is there a stress point with as a guy that loves the farm system? You've done a lot of different jobs in baseball, but the draft is fun. Gauging prospects are fun. Going scouting is still fun, I think, for you. When you have to give up Hoffman, Boyd, Norris all in 1 week, do you cringe a little bit, or do you say, I know how this works, and this is just the price we have to pay here?
You cringe a ton. And like you said, you talked about it. It's, I love scouting. I love going out and seeing players. I love the draft. It's, you know, what I started in. It's really, I don't think it ever gets old for me, though. I probably get more excited when I go see a high school or college game. But, and that being said, you draft these guys, you develop these guys, your staff in the minor leagues get attached to them, you get to know them. But again, we're not going to get guys like David Price for free. We're not going to get Troy Tulowitzki for free. And our CEO, Paul Beeson, talks about it all the time. The 25 guys in the clubhouse, the 25 guys on that field, they drive the entire organization. And no one pays to go watch guys in Dunedin, New Hampshire. I mean, everyone comes to the ballpark for those 25 guys. And it's tough to balance because you know you need to manage the long term as well. And that's probably the most challenging part of being a GM.
Yeah, this question always gets directed. I'm glad you brought Paul up. This question always gets directed to him. I'd love to get your vibe on it. You were 16 the last time the Blue Jays played a playoff game. You're a new driver, or maybe you had your beginners. I don't know. Either way, but it's we all wonder what it'll feel like. Those of us who haven't seen a Blue Jays home playoff game in person, or even an unbelievably important late September game, do you allow yourself now, maybe more than ever, even more than after the Marlins trade or getting Dickey, do you allow yourself to sort of visualize that and what it'll feel like? We all forecast how being a parent will feel or getting married will feel. Can you do that professionally and gun ahead 7-8 weeks like that?
You know what? I mean, I guess you could. I just don't know that when you're in these jobs that you can think that way. You're just, it's hard to explain, but I guess not by design, but it just, I think it happens. And the more you talk to other general managers in other sports, you're so programmed to worry about everything. And I even joke sometimes when you're trying to explain, you know, biggest part of your job as a GM, no one ever comes up to you and says, I have great news today. You won't believe what happened. Any conversation you have with any employee is you're putting out a fire. It's always bad news. And even I even saw a trainer, I joke with him, and he's sending me an email. Just put the title, bad news or good news, like if we're waiting on an MRI, things like that. Because I'm just trying to prepare myself because 9 times out of 10, you're there. There's an issue. There's a problem. If it's coming across your desk because the other directors or departments need your approval or sign off, something's wrong. So you're just programmed to always worry and get things resolved and stay ahead of things rather than sit back and enjoy anything.
Before we let you go, and we appreciate the time greatly, if this is your starting rotation, describe the, and this is where we go for the last 2 months of the season, describe your pleasure level, I suppose, with it compared to 24 hours ago. If you're moving forward with Price, Burley, Dickey, Hutchison, Estrada, how do we feel about it?
I feel a lot better than we did before we got Price. you know, I guess that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Price is a huge piece. Again, it's only going to be a certain amount of starts. Now, the other component is you can say, well, it may just be a one-game wild card. Well, both the Giants and the Royals were in that one-game wild card, and they got to the World Series. And if you can get past the one-game wild card, assuming you get there, and look, we want to win the division as well. Mm-hmm. Once you get into a short series, those one-starters and those three-man rotations, they're huge for you. You see what a guy like Bumgarner did, he can really carry you. So you just want to get in and give yourself a chance and go from there.